Taylor, this was your first appearance in the Olympics. You finished 16th in the triathlon, and then in the debut of the triathlon mixed relays, you helped the U.S. win silver. How would you describe your first go-around at the Games?
I think very mixed. It's I was disappointed with my individual race, but then I was very grateful to even be chosen to race the relay, and then to walk away with the silver when the British team was just phenomenal that day, and same with the other Americans racing on the team. I couldn't have asked for a better experience that day.
So let's go back to that that first race where you finished 16th in the triathlon. You started out in 33rd place after the swimming leg and made your way back into 16th on the last two legs. So what did it take to gain that much ground after the swimming portion?
Well, I probably should not have lost that much ground on the swimming portion to begin with. So it was kind of what I just needed to do and keep moving forward and keep moving up and realize that it's a long day. And it's harder, I think, to stay mentally engaged when you're not where you want to be. But I knew that every day it's just about giving your best effort and appreciating the opportunity to race. And so, therefore, there wasn't really a choice.
I'm wondering if we can go in a little bit more detail about that 16th place finish, because, I mean, I look at it, I think it's a remarkable mark, but for somebody like you who's a competitor, you know, you want a medal, you want to finish in the top three. I saw that you were quoted as saying that it wasn't your ideal race, and I'm wondering if you can give us more detail on that. Was it because of the delayed start due to the weather? Was it something else? Like, what was it that kind of made things a little bit tougher for you out there?
Well, so it's not my ideal race in terms of the outcome. Yes, that matters entirely, but I want to execute a race mm-hmm. that I'm happy with. And I was a minute and 45 seconds down out of the water. That should not happen. I'm swimming better than that. I know I'm a better swimmer than that. And so like something like that bothers me, because then the swim sets up the rest of the race. And so, and then I lost more time on the bike, which is partly because I came out so far back on the swim. And so it just kind of every amount of time that you lose in one discipline, it just compounds in the next potentially. And so that's why like I'm disappointed at how I swam and how that affected the rest of the race.
And how do you stay mentally engaged? Like you said, it's not easy to when you're not running the ideal race that you want. So what's going through your mind when you're trying to trek back and gain those spots back?
Well, so I was just mainly focused on staying upright through the bike course. I knew that I was very, I guess, loss averse in terms of I really did not want to risk, or I was risk averse, that's a better way of saying it, in terms of I wasn't going to take any chances. And so I realized that I may be losing a little time at every single corner, but I didn't want to go down. And so, but just continuing to move forward and realizing that anything can happen in a triathlon, anything can happen in a race. So just continuing to give my best effort at that moment and do what I need to do at that moment, I guess that's what helped me. It's not really glamorous or pretty or exciting, but it's just doing what I need to do all the time, every time.
Taylor Nibb with us here on BTL, 2020 Cornell grad and Olympic silver medalist in the triathlon mixed relay. And obviously the mixed relay was a new event to the Olympics this year. And talk about exciting and entertaining. You know, I'm sure it was not necessarily exciting and entertaining for you when it comes to actually competing, but for us, it was fun to watch. And I'm wondering through your eyes what it's like competing as part of a team as opposed to individually, like in most cases.
Well, actually, it kind of was more similar to racing in college. And thankfully, that's kind of close in my mind. But at the end of the day, the goal is to just give your best effort. If the team influences in terms of racing for something bigger than yourself, which can be really fun and awesome, and just getting to share that experience with your teammates. And the other thing was the fact that it was very exciting, and it is exciting even to race in, because you don't know what's going to happen and you have to be ready for every scenario. So I think that the most flexible racer can do better. And it's just fun and different, and everyone's still learning. I mean, it's a very new event, even for us. So it's fun to be in an event where it's still evolving rapidly.
So what was your reaction when they announced that this was going to be added to the Olympics? And not only that, but that you were going to be representing Team USA as part of that team?
Well, I think it was announced that it would be part of the Olympics back in 2016 or 2015, but with the caveat that triathletes would still only get 55 women and 55 men to the numbers. So we realized that that would be, or everyone who was in the sport realized that that would be part of the qualification now. But like, I wasn't sure about 2020 always, or 2021, I guess now technically, because I was still in school for most of the Olympic cycle. And I just wanted to give myself every opportunity, but you don't know what will happen. And there are a lot of strong American women. So it was very much a bonus, the delay for me, because I don't think I would have been at the Games in 2020. So I wasn't really even considering that when the event was announced, that like, oh, I'll get to not only has this been in the Olympics, but I'll be there and I'll get to race in it. But then when I learned after the individual race that I was part of the relay, I was very excited. But I could not tell anyone. So that was like the hard thing, I guess, in one respect, because we were told to keep the team confidential. So until the final team was announced 2 hours and 15 minutes before the start time, we couldn't tell anyone. So that was what it was. It's a strategy, and I'm just grateful to be part of it.
So what was that like? Like, how did you notify, or did like your family and friends even know about this at all?
I told zero people. I ensured that the high performance general manager told my coach, just so then we could prepare. And so I didn't want to even break the news to him, because I knew that like I wanted to follow the rules. And so I didn't even like mention it to my parents. And I learned after that they were asking like my coach if I was racing, because they were scared to ask me if I was racing or not. I'm not sure what that says, but I'm glad they didn't ask me, thankfully. And I would have told them, like, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. And then they would have gotten really mad at me. But
that's wild.
No one got answers until the team was announced.
That's wild.
5:15 a.m. Yeah, in Japan.
And it results in a silver medal for you and your teammates. Taylor Nibb with us here on BTL, 2020 Cornell grad. It's so cool. Your story is so awesome. And I think what's so cool is that, you know, we talked about it multiple times here on the show, how you are the youngest woman to ever qualify for the U.S. Olympic triathlon team, and you make an immediate impact like you did. I mean, what does something like that mean to you, that you were able to accomplish what you set out to do?
Well, I didn't fully, so I'm, because of the individual race, I'm going to come back to that another time. So I think that's like, I really wanted to learn the most I could from this experience and realize that hopefully I want to go back to another Games, if not multiple. And so if anything, like, I'm grateful for this opportunity that was presented to me, but I also know that I have a lot to work on, a lot to improve on, and I am very excited for the future.
And what does the transfers in the relay entail? I know that the transfer is always the biggest part of a relay on the track, but how does that transfer over to the triathlon mixed relay?
Well, thankfully, we do not have a baton like the track that we could draw for anything. You just have to make contact with the body. So we were even kind of discussing that pre-race, like, do we want one person to be hitting the other and just their body part? Do we want to go for the hands? We ended up going for the hands. And I don't know if you saw the fourth leg, Morgan put out two hands for me, like, just in case, just to be safe. We had talked about it before, and that was not an area where we were going to try to make up seconds. It was be safe and just efficient and safe more than anything. But so it's just make contact, which technically, like, we landed in Japan and there are signs all over the airport, like, no high fives, no high fives. But in the race, that's what's required. You have to kind of high-five each other in order to make the handoff legally. So it was kind of going against the rules a little bit in terms of the overall Japan-Tokyo Games rules, but it was required for our race.
Kind of going off of that, you kind of mentioned how things were in some ways a little bit different over there, because obviously, you know, we're still in the middle of this crazy pandemic and everything like that, and we're in some really interesting times. So there wasn't necessarily the kind of fanfare that you would necessarily see at a normal Olympic Games, and the fans and the families weren't able to attend for the most part, and this, that, and the other. What was it like for you? I mean, did it feel like a true Olympics, or did it feel like maybe some other sort of world event that you were competing in? I'm wondering what what the experience was like for you, considering that you were competing at the Olympics as the pandemic starts winding down here.
Yeah, well, I probably am the wrong person to ask because I've never had an experience before. So I don't have anything to compare it to. Our races are normally, like our normal races are all around the world. And we have anywhere from in Hamburg, Germany, we have, I think, thousands of fans too. If you watch our race in Abu Dhabi, there are probably like a handful of fans. So we're used to any amount. And it also differs where we are on the course because we can travel. Like our loops are kind of big, and for a 5K bike course, it's hard to have fans every single second of the course. So there were a few fans out for us, and so we did notice that, but it was probably kind of average for our style of racing. I will say that it was, there's nothing to compare to, but it was kind of not nice, but there were silver linings to the fact that there weren't fans there, in that we were spent a lot of time on buses just transporting to venues, and it took a while, but I can't imagine how long it would have taken with more traffic because it was fairly empty. And also, I think our triathlon team specifically took advantage of being able to get to know each other better and spend time together and really have a team dynamic in between us, where I think it would have been different if our families had been there. And so I got to spend time with four great other amazing athletes and all of the staff, and that was fantastic, and I'm grateful for that experience that we did get.
And how'd you approach being the youngest athlete on the team? Like, what'd you learn from the more veteran competitors?
Well, so four of us, it was our first Olympics, and then Katie Zafaris, who actually went to Syracuse for school in upstate New York too, she had been in Rio. And so she was kind of our team leader in terms of like what she wanted to do differently from Rio in terms of just like before the race and around the race and in the village and gaining experience. But everyone was, there's no age hierarchy. I mean, you're on the starting line and it's not like anyone gets a head start for their date of birth. So everyone respects each other. Everyone's at a different stage of life and you have to respect that. We can all learn from each other, I hope.
Taylor, before we let you run, you know, some people may not know this, but you came home from the games here recently and you competed in a 70.3-mile Ironman competition this past weekend. And the numbers are ridiculous. You finished in second place in this event. But for those that don't know, it's a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike, and a 13.1-mile run. Taylor, I can't even handle my Peloton for more than 40 minutes. So how in the world do you finish second there in Boulder just days after what feels like competing in two triathlons in Tokyo?
Well, the nice thing was that since we did have a gap in between the individual and the mixed relay, there was time to recover. And I've spent a lot of time at altitude. So coming down to sea level, I'm recovering a lot faster, I feel like. But then when I came home, I made the decision to race because after I raced in Japan in May and qualified for the games, I like got right back into training. I was like so excited. And so for me, like after a race, I'm always normally very excited to get back to training because I'm like, okay, I have like so many things I need to work on. Like I want to start working on them immediately. And maybe I'm a bit too excited sometimes. And so I wanted to make sure that I like reined myself in. And so having that race on the calendar ensured like it put a little like fear in me, which I need to hold myself back. And so I wanted to keep myself under control the whole week, but still get a solid effort in the weekend. And so it served a number of purposes. I wanted to work on a number of things. I also got to race my first triathlon in the United States since July 2017. So I just don't get that many opportunities to race and in the U.S., let alone in what's now my home in Boulder. So I got to sleep in my own bed and drive the 10 minutes to the race start. So it was an opportunity that I'm thankful that USA Triathlon let me do, and I couldn't pass up.
That's so awesome. Taylor, you've got such a bright future ahead, that's for sure. We can't wait to see what you do down the road in so many other different events coming up and hopefully in Paris as well. Hey, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it and be proud of what you've accomplished, okay?
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.